Okay, we are at the top of Daf Yud Aleph in Bava Metzia. At the Mishnah, it says, Ra'os on Ratan Achar Metzia. If a person saw other people running after a lost item, Achar Tzvi Shavor, is that a broken, that's an interesting way of saying that.
Stag.
Okay. That's an interesting way of saying that Tzvi Shavor, broken, but yeah. Let's say a deer with some broken limb or something like that. Achar gozalos shelo parchu, after birds that aren't pigeons. What is that?
That says unfledged. I don't know what fledged means.
I think it means they haven't yet flown. Shelo parach means to fly or to float. So shelo parchu v'amar zachzali sadi.
Okay.
And a person says.
Uniting features. They both can't move out of the field where they're found, and therefore will remain there until someone takes them away.
Okay, and who's saying this, though? A person said, my field now acquires them, so then Zachsalo.
A man sees people running after
him. I think the owner of the field sees other people running onto his field. I assume that's what's going on.
The field in this circumstance acts for the owner and acquires the animals or birds for him.
Mm-hmm.
If the owner expresses his wish in this respect before others have taken hold of the
right. Family. It's kind of interesting. I mean, yesterday we were talking all about the Dalet Amos of a person and how the Dalet Amos just automatically, acquires it for you. And here, the thing's on his actual property and he has to say it.
That actually works?
We said that it works in specific situations.
Little side streets.
Side streets and when he's not making any clear and obvious objection to that, meaning he's not falling on it as if he doesn't care about the Dalet Amos rule. Okay. Hayat sviratzke darko shay gozal zmafriechim v'amar zachzal yisari lo amar klum. If the animals are moving and the birds are flying, it says literally flying, not that they could fly, but they are literally flying. So then the saying that my field should acquire them doesn't work. This is only works if you are on next to the field. Okay, I guess you have to see it. I'm not really sure why. Right, the chatzer should be kone regardless of what the person says, meaning it's in his space. So that's only when it comes to a secured courtyard. If it's an open property, so then it's not going to be considered like a chatzer mishtameres that requires it. The only time that it will acquire is if he's basically standing next to it, as if it's a literal extension of him. How do we know that the chatzer has to be secured in order for it to be really acquired for him? The town of the verse says, "Haya omed." The ear of Omer, Odani Shomer, She Omer with an ayin, Ani She Omer, She Yeshli Basada Paulim Shechehu, Lo Yeh Shecha. And she's trying to prevent the forgotten sheaves or stalks, bundles. So he's trying to prevent it from becoming Shecha. So Yachol Lo Yeh Shecha, maybe he could do that, even though he's he's doing it from a distance. Tamalomar Vishachta. Omer basadeh besadeh v'shechachta v'lo ba'ir. That specifically, if you are basadeh, v'shechachta omer basadeh. But that's in terms of making it shechacha. That's an interesting drasha. V'shechachta omer basadeh, basadeh v'shechachta, only if you're at the field and you forgot v'lo ba'ir, but not if you're in the city. So that doesn't make sense.
He's unforgiving it. He's saying it's not.
Right, this is the opposite of that. This is only, it's only considered shechacha if you're in the field and you forgot it. So then if you're not in the field and you forgot it, so then it shouldn't be shechacha. Not that you shouldn't be able to prevent it from you. I guess maybe it's a package deal.
For seem to have forgotten it.
Maybe that's what we're saying, that the laborers are the ones
that's what he says here.
Uh-huh.
I know that the sheaf which I have in the field has been forgotten by the laborers, and it's my wish that the sheaf shall not be regarded as forgotten.
Yeah.
In other words, he knows. Maybe he would. How would he know? I mean,
maybe there's a part of the land that's always forgotten, that it's around the corner or something. Oh, they always forget that part. I don't know. Haguvakasha Amar Yachlo Yechshecha Alma Havishecha. You just said maybe it would be shechcha, and therefore you would think that the consideration is that it's going to be shechcha. V'nasiv le'Talmud beside v'shechachta v'lo ba'ir Alma lo havishecha. And then the Braisa says, based on the Pasuk, v'shachachta v'lo ba'ir, ama lo ha'vishach, I think that's what we're saying. That the drasha that you just said, v'shachachta omer basada, it's only shechacha if you are in by the field. And here, he's not by the field, and therefore it shouldn't be shechacha. Alav hachikam, or rather, this is what it's saying. Basada shachach me'ikaro ha'vishachacha, when you're in the field, and it is forgotten, it is automatically forgotten, it's considered shechacha. Zachor levasov shachulach in shechacha. If, however, you were remembered, and then you forgot, so that's not shechacha. My time to came to Kaigaba, Havi lechatzeira v'zachasalei. Oh, interesting drasha. That is an interesting inference here. But basically, it's what it's saying is, you remembered, and then you forgot. That's not shechacha, because once you remembered the sheaves, so then it was like your field acquired it for you. But when you're in the city, when you're away from the city, even if you remembered and then you forgot, it's still going to be considered shechacha. Because you can only be zocheh it. What we're learning from this source is you can only retain ownership of it when you're next to the field, and you can use the field as the extension of yourself, like a chatzur mishtamer. So it says, "Where be my? Why? How is that what you learn from there? Maybe it's based on the pasuk, and really it's only the pasuk. It's not some kind of general rule about how a sada functions, or specifically how a sada functions when you're next to it. So amakra lo sashuv lekachto l'rabos shechasair. It should have been included in lo sashuv lekachto. And I guess we're now using the concept of the chatzar to be acquired again. So hamibay leilah, what do you mean? You can't use that drasha for anything else. That's teaching us the halacha of shechacha. So imke nemakra lo tikachenu, my lo sashuv, l'rabos shechaseir. No, he's still darshan it in different ways. That it includes, first of all, the isser of going back, and secondly, the isser that it applies regardless of whether you buy the field or not buy the field. And then we use the concept of the chatzer to retain the ownership for the person. We still need that drasha for a different mishnah, which says shelafanav ein shechach mishlachos yesh shechach. The only time that it's considered shechach is when you turn your back to it. Shuv al tashuv. That's when you can't go back. You can't return to the sheaves that you've left behind. But if it's still in front of you, that's not shechach yet. Zeh klal kol shuv al tashuv shechach. Kol she'en al tashuv ein shechach. And this is, I guess, this is just the continuation of that drasha, that anything which is within the halacha of Baal Tashuv, so that's considered shechacha. Anything which is not within the halacha of Baal Tashuv, ain't a shechacha. And therefore what? And therefore you can't be coming to include a case where the owner was in the city. Amr of Ashi, Amr Krag, Yihiyel, Rabbat Shechacha Seir. Again, we're trying to include the isser of when you forgot it, but the owner is only in the city. So that we can say the implication of that mishnah or that brisa is that if he's not in the city but he's next to the field, he could still acquire it. V'chein amar in the zachor levasof shochech case. V'chein amar ulo v'hu she'omim b'tzar tzedeyu. Ula also similarly corroborates this distinction that it's only when you are next to the field that you can acquire something. V'chein amar rabba baruchana.
Why do we keep saying this? It's his to begin with.
What do you mean? The shechecha?
The shechecha.
What would be shechacha?
Belong to the field owner to begin with.
Right, and now it's not.
To acquire. I mean, it's...
Well, no, the Torah relinquishes his ownership on his, you know, against his will. So now the question is whether he's levasof shochech, does he have the power to retain ownership of it, even though it could be considered shochech?
It's that shechacha never applies.
So
if he's in the field,
I guess you could say it that way.
That's not forgotten. I know it's sitting out there in the middle of the field all by itself, but that's not forgotten.
Yeah.
He never relinquishes ownership. I don't know why he keeps talking about the field acquires it. But that's not forgotten.
We're trying to say.
Can he get it back? I mean,
I think you're right. If once it's shechacha, it's shechacha. He can't get it back. I think what we're saying is that if there are sheaves that he has in mind and his workers forgot, he's not able to retain ownership, meaning it becomes shechacha if he's not by the field. But if he's by the field, so then the chatzar has this sort of more significant quality to it, that it can, because he's next to the field, it works on his behalf because he's there. And therefore, it never becomes shechicha in the first place.
Right.
Unless, until he explicitly turns his back to it or something like that. I think that's what we're saying.
I think so, too. It's just odd that he's talking about, like,
There's a theoretical difference between it's shechicha and now he gets it back, or it's never shechicha in the first place. But now we're saying, I think this last part of Ula is actually different. This is just talking back about our Mishnah, about the Metzia. Fushamu said today that he only acquires the injured deer, if he's next to his field. It's only if he's next to the field. This is a famous story. We've seen this before. That is a story when Rabbi Gamliel and other elders were coming on a boat. That the maestro that I'm ultimately going to do on my field, which is not near me, right? He's doing this remote. Obviously, he's on a ship, a boat. So then it should go to Yehoshua. And he says that the place where the Meisr is should be given to him. So that he can give it over to the poor people. And the place is also rented to him. This is similar to what we do by Chametz. Were they next to the field, right? When he says the place should be there so that they can acquire it, the implication is, at least according to our Mishnah, the implication would be that they must be standing next to the field for that to work. So Amrale, Dami Hai Mirabanan Kidala Gamri in Shishmaitza. I guess Ula was saying, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous. It's like you've never learned this before. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
What's the explanation? That's just, what's it called, an ad hominem? What's the actual reason for it, though? Are we going to say that? Maybe we'll get to that. Kasi l'su amr l'hu, hachi amr Ula, v'achi osvisei. Okay, there we go. What's the back and forth there? Amr le ha'hu mirabanan. Rabbi Gamliel metatle agav mekarkia hikna lehem. The Rabbi Gamliel was trying to bequeath to them movable property on top of unmovable property, meaning land. Rabbi Zera kibla, Rabbi Abba lo kibla. What does that mean?
Rabbi Zera accepted, Rabbi Abba did not agree with Rabbi Gamliel, apparently. Although I'm sort of lost about the principle. What's Rabbi Gamliel's principle here?
Well, Rabbi Gamliel seems to be of the opinion that you can transfer ownership to another person remotely, assuming you give them the land too, even though those people aren't next to the land, which is what we've been saying in our Mishnah, that you have to be next to the land for the land to acquire it on your behalf.
Okay, so Rabbi Gamliel says, in the way he translates it here, when he's giving it to the Maser, to Yehoshua ben Hananiah, and he says the place where it is leased to me, so he's giving is leased to him by me.
Right.
So he's giving it. You can give land remotely.
So that's an interesting thing. When we do it for chametz, you have to have some kind of kinyan. So I'm not really sure. I don't really know how he does that.
Unless he was standing there. I mean,
The implication of the Gemara is that they're not. Right. And that's why they're even asking the question. So I don't really know. I'm trying to figure out what this last part means. So Rabbi Zera Kibla, what does that mean?
I think Rabbi Zera accepted and agreed with Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Abba did not agree with Rabbi Gamliel.
Okay.
Did not accept this principle. But the question is, I'm not sure what the principle is.
So I think there are two principles at play. There's what's called a kinyan agav, and then there's kinyan chatzer. A kinyan agav means that you can sell, I believe, I'm just recalling this from my Pesach preparations. A kinyan agav means you can sell movable property on top of pieces of land. A kinyan chatzer means that you can assume an object is acquired because it's on your land. It's different. There are two different theories.
There's a long note here that I don't know whether it's helpful or not. The the leasing of land on which the grounds on which the ground in which the tithes were lying enabled Yehoshua and Akiva to accept to acquire the tithes, not mm-hmm. because the ground acted for them as their hand or
inch, right, not a chatzer, but rather
because of the principle that movable property which cannot be right. pledged as security to a lender may be acquired together with immovable property which can be pledged as security to a lender by means of the payment of the purchase price of right. the immovable
so
property.
So that's agav. That's called kinyan agav. As opposed to
Gamaliel could therefore have leased to Yehoshua and Akiva any other piece of ground with the same effect so far as the acquisition of the tithes is concerned, even movable property which is received as a gift can be acquired in the same way.
Right, that's a kinyan agav. As opposed to kinyan chatzer, the Mishnah has been talking about a kinyan chatzer. Kinyan chatzer basically means, this is my courtyard. If you throw something in it, now I've acquired it, like a get, which we talked about yesterday. Kinyan agav is different. Kinyan agav is basically saying, I am giving you this piece of land and anything that goes with it. That's a different type of thing. I believe we do both with chametz. We give the piece of land in two different ways, or the place underneath the chametz, whatever. So Rabbi Zeira accepted, okay, fine, it's kinyan agav. Right, that's what it says, mitasa agav mikarkai. Rabbi Zeira accepted it, Rabbi Abba lo kibla. I'm not really sure why Rabbi Zeira didn't accept it, though. Meaning, Rabbi Abba objected to the whole concept of ula. You can't acquire something with a kinyan chatzer. It's not true, this is Rabbi Abba's point, it's not true that you can only acquire with a chatzer if you're next to the chatzer. You could even acquire with a chatzer if you're not next to the chatzer, as we see from Rabbi Gamliel. And the response to that was, which Rabbi Zeira agrees to, is no, that wasn't a kinyan chatzer, that was a kinyan agav. Those are different. They look the same because it's a piece of land that you have stuff on top of, but it's a kinyan agav, it functions differently. Rabbi Abba somehow, for some reason, does not accept that response. I'm not really sure why.
The kinyan agav, the purchaser doesn't have to be there?
No, it's basically like, that's the difference. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know what effectuates that
so
sale.
So we do mechirat chametz, the purchaser right. is there at the transaction because you are the agent for the purchaser. No, that's
no,
no,
we're not. Talking
You're
about
the agent for the seller.
Yeah, I'm an agent for the seller. I'm not selling anything.
Not for the purchaser.
Yeah.
But then when you actually do it with the purchaser,
right.
he's there.
So then we do acquisitions. We do some swaps and I'm not sure. I'd have to look back at the halachos, but I'm not sure that when we do our acquisitions, we're doing so for I guess it's all written in the shtar. All these halachas that we're talking about function somewhat differently for Jews and non-Jews. And that's part of why we do so many kinyanim for the chametz. We do like seven different kinyanim. Yeah. You wouldn't necessarily see all of them, but they're all there. That's chalipin. So we've got chalipin, we've got kesef, we've got shtar, we've got agav, chatzer, simtuta, which is a handshake nowadays. It's like sort of the way of the land. There's one more, I think. Maybe verbally, I think. Just like agreeing to it verbally. So those are seven kinyanim that we do. But I'm not sure, again, I'm not sure if there's any physical act that's associated with kinyan agav. Or we're just writing it in the shtar, and that's the kinyan agav? I'm not really sure.
Actually, I have never seen a chiret.
No? You're more than welcome to come. You can't be a witness because, I mean, assuming you're selling it through me.
Who are you selling to?
I give it to the nice guy that works at JFS. One of the, I don't think he's a secretary. He works on, like, accounting and stuff.
Next door?
It's in the... On Greenfield and on Lincoln.
The JFS office there, yeah.
Yeah, in the office there. But I go to his house. Well, he comes to the shul on Erev Yontif, and then I go to his house on Motzei Yontif.
How did you find this person?
Becky Eisen. I reached out to Jerry, because I asked Jerry, hey, I want like a trusted, you know, fireman, policeman. Do you know any like trustworthy people, upstanding people, you know, keep the law, they understand, things like that. He says, no, but Becky was there. And she's like, well, I got this great non-Jew. He's such a sweet guy. And he really is. He's a sweet guy. He lives like downtown, a place I've never been to, but he's a nice guy. Anyways.
And he's liberalist for any of his
No, but I've thought about it. He's chuckled at the idea. Amarava. So now I think we're good. I'm still not sure why Rabbi Abba doesn't like it, but Amarava Shapir Avile Avid the Lokabla. Okay, here we go. So now Rabbi Rava is siding with Rabbi Abba's objection. We haven't explained it, but he's siding. It's a good thing that he didn't accept. Why? V'chi lo haya lehem sudar liknos v'men v'chalipin. Why wouldn't you do chalipin? Okay, and that's a reason why I guess he's saying you should prefer to do chalipin before you do agav. Ela tovas hana ina mamon liknos v'men chalipin. Rather, it is tovas hana. Tovas hana is basically the benefit of not using it but having it, like a stock type of thing. Ena mamon liknos mimeno v'chalipin. I guess the land that Rabbi Akiva is going to be used, Rabbi Akiva is going to be getting this, whatever it is, these sheaves or this wheat, he's getting it so that he can give it to other people. And apparently that you can't do with chalipin. Hachanami, tovasana ena mamon liknos agave karka. Oh, I guess we're just saying that. He could have done chalipin. Why didn't he do chalipin? Because it's tovasana, and you can't be Zocha, you can't be Kona Tovasana with Chalip. And these are just rules we're going to have to accept. So too, you can't acquire Tovasana with Kinyan Agav either. So Velohi says, Gemara, is that not true? Matnos Kuna Nesina Ksiva Behu. It says over there, Nesina, that you have to give. Chalip and Derek Mechach Mechmarhu. Metatna Agav Karka Nesina Alimtahi. Chalipin is derech mekach umemkar, so that's why you can't use chalipin. But matnas kuna can be given agav karka because that's considered nesina. You can gift something through agav, but you cannot gift something through chalipin. Chalipin, that's a transaction, and that's why you can't give it for matnas kuna. Okay, so Gemara says Amar Rav Papa Amar das acheres makna o sanshani. When Rabbi Gamliel, who's somebody else, transfers the ownership, it's different. Oh, that's his answer generally. Rav Papa is now saying a new statement that when it comes to being makna, das acheres makna, so that's a different, it functions by different rules. It's not one party to another party, but rather it's das acheres. I guess it's saying when it comes to a person who's acquiring something through their own chatzer, this is my courtyard, I want to use it to acquire something, the only way it's going to acquire is if I'm standing next to it. But here, he's not giving them a chatzer and then giving them the stuff on top of the chatzer. He's just saying this is a means of transferring ownership. I'm giving them the movable property with the property underneath it. Okay, that's different than typical chatzer case. How do we know that there's such a distinction? It's not in the Mishnah. It says, Ratzin Achar Metzia, V'yam Rabbi Yirmi Am Rabbi Yochanan, V'hu Shrat Acharein Magiyan. Ubay Rabbi Yirmi Al B'matana Hayach. The only time that we say our Mishnah, that the person can acquire it by declaring, my field should acquire this injured stag. Rabbi Yirmi then said, that's only if he's running after it. Umagiyan. That's only if he'd be able to go get them. But if he wouldn't be able to go get them, meaning the bird or the stag, so then it would not be good. And even theoretically, he has to be able to do that. And Rabbi Yirmiyah said, "B'matana hayach." What about a gift? Kibla min Rabbi Abba Rab Bar Kahana afal pi sheratach rein ve'in magiyan. That would work even if he couldn't go get them. Why? Why would that be better? My time. Alav mishum didas acheres makna osan shani. Isn't that because he's sort of transferring ownership in a remote way, which is allowed when it comes to sort of transferring ownership as opposed to acquiring on your own? Amar Rav Shimon Rav Papa, hare get. That can't be because didas acheres makna osa. that the husband is now transferring over the ownership of this get to his wife, soon to be divorcee. And that's why it would work. V'amar Ula, but Ula still says, but even in that case, even though it's Das Achar's Magnosa, she has to be standing next to her courtyard. So Gemara says, Shani get the Isabel Karcha. A get is different because it can be given to her against her will. Well, I would say even more so, she doesn't have to be there, but I guess maybe this is like a gezeira. Oh, because it's a gezeira. Meaning that technically the husband could just throw it at her and call it a day, or throw it in her courtyard and call it a day. But in order to prevent that, so we say she has to stand next to the chalitza. I think that's what we're saying. So masculine, and therefore, das acharis maknosa, typically yes, but not by a get.
I didn't really think about this when we were learning these halachot in Sechet Gittin, but does she own the courtyard? Does the wife own
the
courtyard?
So the Gemara did talk about that. We talked about how she gains ownership of the courtyard and the get simultaneously. Because technically, I think what your question is, doesn't that belong to the husband? Is that,
yeah.
Right. So I think what we said was, even to get it in her own hand, it would be a question. Because we say, all ma'aseh yadeha goes to the husband. Right? All of her manual labor is attributed back to the husband too. So that we said that when the husband gives the get, there's a special dispensation that the Torah gives that the woman acquires her own independence and the get at the same time. It's like a special, I think it was from a pasuk. If when it comes to something which is against her will, she can only acquire it if she's next to the chatzer. Something which is with your will, all the more so you have to be next to the chatzer. So how are we saying that you have to be next to the chatzer for other situations? Elam Ravashi, chatzer is rabbi mishum yad. Must be that the chatzer is included because it's an extension of the hand. V'lo gara mishlichos, it's no different than shlichos. Gabi get, t'chov hula, ein chavin la'adam el b'fanav. When it comes to a get, which is an obligation, meaning a restriction, is something which is detrimental, so then we're only going to do that, ein chavin la'adam el b'fanav. We have, the gabi matana, though, dischusulo, zach la'adam shlo b'fanav. We've been using that phrase, but we haven't yet seen it in the Gemara, so here it is. When you are transferring ownership to the betterment of another person. So then, Zah, we have the concept, Zah,
Manash, Lofanav. Yeah, it is to the betterment or the detriment.
We are saying this to the detriment of the woman, because now she's not going to be married. That's what we're saying here.
Sometimes she does
believe. And a Hanami. Yeah. It is an unfortunate situation regardless. So maybe that's what we mean. The point here is that it's something which is possibly against her will, but as opposed to free money, where it's like, okay, everybody wants free money. So Zach L'Adam Shalom B'Fanav, we give it to them, even if they're not at the place itself. Okay, Shkayach.